Hi, this is Josh Burke, the Executive Director of the Bethel Mary Public Library, and you are listening to Beyond the Stacks, the BAPL podcast. And my guest today is Matthew Rothfuss, an information technician here at the Bethel Mary Public Library. How you doing?
Thanks, Josh. I'm doing well. Thanks for having today.
Hey, good. Thanks for coming. I know it was a long commute up from...
yeah, right upstairs.
right from downstairs. And so Matthew's here today because we were talking about a fun event coming up at the library next month called the Retro Arcade. And that's going to be held April 14th, all day. It's a Saturday here at the main library. And what is a retro arcade, Mr. Rothfuss?
Well, a retro arcade it's basically a setup where you take original hardware, meaning you take original systems, whether it's like a Nintendo or a Sega, and you hook them up to older TVs because, like with anything, usually the original hardware works the best. And you're basically simulating an environment very much like the American living room in the 1980s and 1990s. So basically what these people do is they come, they bring the systems, they bring the games, and they bring the TVs, and they hook them up, and anybody can come and, I guess, relive the games of their youth.
Yeah, it really is fun. I should have mentioned that this is... hosted by the Alternative Gallery, yeah, in collaboration with us here at the library. So this is an art gallery in Allentown, and they have some, in addition to their art gallery, they also have live music, and they also have a number of folks there associated with the gallery who are real enthusiasts of the sort of retro video game movement. So I don't even remember exactly how we connected with them. I think it's through Matt and Seamus at Tape Swap Radio. I forget exactly how it came up, but I happened to see that there was another library doing something similar, I think in Canada, actually, one of the libraries I follow on Twitter or whatever. I found out that they were doing this. I mentioned it to them. They put us together, and we're able to offer this to the public here. So I'm a person who – I'm a person who was born in the 70s. I remember really well my bar mitzvah money, 1989, I got $100, and I bought a Nintendo, like the classic, NES.
That was a lot of money back then.
That was $100 in 1980s dollars. I know. That was like the one thing, all the rest of it I had to save. My parents had to put all of it away, except for $100 I could spend, and that's all I wanted. And I got super into Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Classic.
I still know the cheat code to Tyson. 0737359 63. Yeah. Before that, I always had the Intellivision, which was like Atari's like lamer cousin, right? Like,
I don't think Atari. Yeah, Atari didn't produce that, but it was
definitely, no. I mean, it was like a
it was an alternative to Atari,
but it was worse.
It was one of those systems that when you got it Christmas morning, you were like, that's for an Atari.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Somehow I ended up with Intellivision. My friends had Atari, my friends had ColecoVision, all that stuff. And, like, I have such fond memories of it. And a friend of mine not that long ago showed me somewhere online you could play Tecmo Bowl, which made me really happy because that was a Nintendo game I really liked. And then from there I sort of realized, like, I mean, this one site that I was playing old games on is really just, like, the tiniest tip of the iceberg. This is, like, a big, like... what do you want to call it? Like a movement or just like a hobby, like an interest?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's even bigger than a movement. I think it's a generational shift in terms of our culture.
Hmm.
I think that if you look back in terms of, you know, what generations grew up with, whether it's the baby boomers, they kind of grew up with rock and roll music that was very new and rock music. And that kind of became ubiquitous to American culture. What we're looking at today is we're looking at an entire huge generation, maybe the Generation X, the young millennials, or the older millennials, grew up with video games. And video games now are such a huge industry. We now look back at the history of video games with much fondness, and especially those now in their 30s and 40s, we want to play them. We want to recapture these memories from when we were kids.
Is that what you think the main draw of it is? Is nostalgia, or what else is going on there?
Well, I mean, a huge part of it is nostalgia, but I would argue another huge part of it is this idea of something pure, something that you don't necessarily get today. The way way industries morph and change. In this case, we have very much more of an online component to a lot of things in life. something that's very digital or something that's you're connected online, you're interacting with people online, you're playing by yourself, versus an arcade or a living room. You know, you would play with your friends. You would all get together and you would play Tecmo Bowl and you would trade the controller. You would play Street Fighter in the arcades. And nowadays it's very different. So I think a lot of people are looking to reclaim that purity of a gaming experience.
And that social experience of like getting together with people.
Yes.
And it's funny because it's still digital, obviously. It's like, obviously, video games, it's digital on your screen, but it feels like, I mean, it's pre, it's digital, but it's pre-internet.
Yeah. And what a lot of other people don't understand now is that a lot of the games now are all digitally, in the sense that just like music or even, you know, books, we don't actually own physical copies of them. We buy them and download them and play them directly that way. So this is a physical thing that you can hold in your hand. The controller is a representation of something, and the game itself has a certain feel to it. There's something to be said about holding it in your hand. It does go back to that nostalgia of actually having it and being able to hold it.
So when people come to the library on the 14th, they'll be literally like sitting on the floor in front of an old TV with an Atari controller in their hand.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what systems they're going to have, but I can pretty well guess they're going to have at least like a Nintendo, an Atari, a Sega Genesis, maybe a Super Nintendo, Nintendo 64. Maybe some of the later things like Sega Genesis. I mean, I'm Sega Dreamcast. I do know that when I did attend the one last year at the Alternative Gallery, that they had at least 6 or 7 TVs hooked up with multiple systems, with the original controllers, with different games.
And we should add that, obviously, I mean, this is called an arcade, but you don't have to bring quarters.
You don't have to bring anything. It's totally free.
This is totally free. Open to everybody. Kids, do you think... let's talk about some of like the particular games. Like, do you think that like a game like I don't know what, Pac-Man or Mario or something, could like hold the attention of like people?
Well, I know that it holds the attention. I know that because one of the main reasons I know that is just being a part of the community and knowing that it's a generational thing. It's very much passed down from father to son or from mother to daughter, etc. Where there's a love of certain games, certain game franchises. Now there's a lot of franchises like Mario and Zelda that have survived for the last 30 years. And people want to recapture and discover the old ones. But one of the other things I know why it's so successful is the whole speed game movement, where you have a lot of younger gamers who want to play the older games, and they do it competitively. And they do speed runs where you basically a speed run is where you time from start to finish. You time how long it takes somebody to finish a game from start to finish.
Oh, wow.
And you see actually a lot of the younger generation embracing that.
Let's talk about some of like your personal favorites. Do you have favorites?
I mean, of course I have favorites. One of the, you know, I guess one of the fun things, if you're talking about music or you're talking about movies, and in this case, talking about video games, is making lists. Or making favorite lists or discussing some of the ins and outs, the minutia.
Do you have a list?
I have a list in my head. It's always changing, of course.
We should type it up. We'll put it in the comment. We'll
put it on the blog. Definitely. Right. I have to make a big shout out to Super Metroid. That's probably my favorite.
Wait, Super Metroid?
Super Metroid is everything came together perfectly in 2D gaming. 2D gaming meaning it happens on one plane, usually a left to right, kind of like Super Mario Brothers.
Is that different from just Metroid?
Metroid was the original Nintendo Entertainment System.
That's what I love.
Yeah.
I'm a little older than you.
Yeah. And this is basically like that game, but an update in visuals, sound, and gameplay.
The Metroid that I had was impossible to win.
This is less esoteric.
You could get to the end, but you can never win. That stupid brain at the end, I'm still mad about it.
Mother brain.
Yes. That mother brain. I'm still mad about it. I played so much Metroid.
Yeah, well, you had to because it was a very difficult game to get through.
I made it to the end. Never won. I also really hated Bald Bull, speaking of the Mike Tyson.
Yeah, the second, especially the second.
Because then he laughs, saying that he laughs at you. I would take it really personally. I was like, don't I throw in the controller out there?
Well, you had to hit him in the stomach, you know?
The timing was so hard. And I knew what to do, but you had to, like, a half a second to get in there. I definitely loved Zelda, like the old Zelda.
like the top down Zelda, like the Zelda where you explored the world map.
Yeah. Because to me, that was also one of the early Nintendo games where you could save your progress. Yeah. And like you really were on a. I've really never gotten into any Zeldas post that one. That was really like the only Zelda I was into.
Well, it's a pretty landmark game because, believe it or not, in Japan they had a disk drive system that would save that game, and they didn't want to bring that out to America, so they actually invented the battery save for that game.
Is that what it was? And I also really loved I really liked Pitfall. That's an old game.
Yeah,
you're like constantly falling in quicksand and tar pits. That was pretty good.
Pitfall was like the Super Mario before Super Mario.
I definitely loved all the Mario games. Like I feel like Super Mario Brothers 2 might have been my favorite. I don't know. That was like, for whatever reason, the graphics were a little snazzier than the first one. That's my favorite. Am I the only one?
No. They call that Super Mario USA in Japan because it was actually called Doki Doki Panic in Japan. And they, over just a few months, they converted it into a Mario game. Yeah.
It was cool. I like the original Super Mario Brothers. And I also, when I was talking to the guys at the Alternative Gallery, I asked them if they're going to be Ms. Pac-Man, and they assured me that there was. Yeah. I feel like I'm specifically fond of Ms.
I think Ms. Pac-Man is one of those games we have to have there.
Why is it better than Pac-Man? It is.
It just improved upon Pac-Man.
And part of me is like
in every way.
In college, like a bar near like where they just had a coin op Ms. Pac-Man, and so I just played a lot of it because it was there. And me and my like college friends, it just became like slightly tongue in cheek, like, but actually also like big devotees of Ms. Pac-Man. Like, yeah, we really loved it. I wonder if there's gonna be some Duck Hunt. That was a good one. You ever played Duck Hunt?
Of course, I played with the gun. Yeah, with the gun. Yeah, that was my experience.
That was like
my experience was the one of my generation, which is a little bit younger than your generation, which was getting the Nintendo on Christmas morning that came with the Mario Brothers and the Duck Hunt and the Duck Hunt Zapper. And you know, today I see how popular it is today. People still want to play Duck Hunt.
Here's a good one for you. The Pro Wrestling. Remember that one with Fighter Hayabusa and King Slender and Starman?
I know Starman.
And the Amazon? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Amazon Bite Your Head. My friends and I were like, in college, we were also obsessed with that game. We used to, at the beginning of the game, it has little like biography things about each wrestler, and it tells you like their birth date and like their special move and where they're from. And we used to like celebrate Fighter Hayabusa's birthday with like events. We used to like, because he was our favorite, because he had the back brain kick.
That's too much.
Yeah, we would celebrate. He had the back brain kick, which is really hard. It was the hardest move in the game, but also the most damaging. So also he stunk otherwise. He was terrible, but he had the one lights out move. So we always loved Fighter Hayabusa. King Corn Karn, that was another character.
What a classic.
I hope they have that one.
Hey, you ever play ice hockey?
Yeah.
With the fat skinny guys, and you could change your lineup.
Don't you feel like that game had a lot to teach us about life?
And how sore your thumbs could become
from playing. Both of those things. Yeah. Well, I'm really excited for this event. I'm getting more excited as we talk about it, and I remember all these games. And I think you're right that there's something beyond nostalgia and something like just maybe it is nostalgia or whatever, but that community aspect. And that's part of what makes it exciting to me as like a library director is like that we can host these kind of community events where people who have, a shared love for a thing can rather than talk about it on a message board or on their headsets online or whatever, can come and be in person and like sit next to each other on the floor, shoulder to shoulder and have these real person, real life experiences where they're sharing their passion with others in the community. And I bet people are going to be surprised who comes out, like people of all ages, people of all backgrounds.
That's what I'm so excited about is because, you know, we do mention that it was this generation thing, but of course everybody loves games and everybody did experience games, you know, men, women, boys and girls growing up in the 80s and 90s. And now we can look back and we can really discuss it and kind of share the memories. I love hearing about like the first time somebody heard a Beatles, you know, record for the first time. And I love hearing about the first time, you know, somebody played The Legend of Zelda for the first time and that experience. I think it really speaks to a whole shared experience of the American public.
And this is going to be cool. And I hope it's the first of many. I think it's a really neat thing for the library to be doing. And I'm excited that the Alternative Gallery is partnering with us. And I'm excited that we have a video game historian on staff, Matthew, here. And just because you're like an expert doesn't mean I'm not going to beat you.
Well, I mean, it's funny because I know very little, but compared to a lot of people. But okay. I think it's something we're so blessed that the Alternative Gallery is coming into the space, because I know how great of a show that they put on, and I just really hope that the public can come out and experience some fun games.
All right. You heard them. So come out, everybody. April 14th, all day, 10 to 5, free event at the Bethel Mary Public Library, the main library on Church Street. Our friends from the Alternative Gallery are going to be here, as well as both Mr. and Ms. Pac-Man. I want to call them Mr. Pac-Man, just Pac-Man. Donkey Kong.
Maybe a Donkey Kong
Pitbull,
family, too. Donkey Kong, Donkey Kong Jr.
Mrs. Kong.
The Cranky Kong.
Hey.
The Super Nintendo games.
They're all going to be here. All the Marios. All of them. Luigi. All right. Thanks for listening to Beyond the Stacks, and we will see you at the library on the 14th, if not before.
Nice stuff.
Thank you.